Continuing in Matthew, final verses of the Sermon on the Mount. I've entitled this Building for Jesus, and really the question is, what, you know, for who are you building your life for? That's really the essence of this message. What are you building on, and what are you building with, and who are you building for? The Lord has just, you know, He's poured out everything in this sermon. He's talked about so much in what we call three chapters. I mean, it was actually a sermon, and there may have well been more than this. But this is what Matthew has given us. And He's poured His heart out. He's touched virtually every subject that has to do with our everyday life and also spiritual things as well. And the multitudes have never heard things like this from the Pharisees. And you got to remember, the Pharisees' teachings were rooted in tradition, ordinances, observances. And, you know, we tend to do that, don't we? You ever heard, like, when things change in a church, somebody will always say, "We never did it like that before." Because we are people of habit. We are people of tradition, in a sense. And we can get to the place, if we're not careful, like the Pharisees, where tradition meant more than truth. You know, when Jesus came and gave them truth, they couldn't handle it. And so Jesus is calling at this time, He's calling these people back to truth. You know, He expounded on the Scriptures. You know, He says, "Oh, you say you never murdered, but I'm telling you, if you're angry with your brother, you've murdered." And various other illustrations He gave was shaking people up. And He's calling them back to the truth of God's Word. You know, that's really what we need, what our nation needs, what the world needs, is to be called back to God's truth. That does have the answers. It really does. And so He uses this illustration, and it's a very familiar one to most of us, building your house upon, you know, little children, you know, "I build my house upon a rock," you know, whatever. "Then my house upon the sand," you know, the little song I'm going to try and sing. But all that to say, it's a very familiar passage. And, you know, sometimes when we have very familiar passages, we kind of blow through them when we read the Word of God. "Oh, yeah, you know, that's one, you know, whatever." So that's why it's good to preach, you know, verse by verse, because it makes you expose things out of that passage that a lot of times, you know, how many passages have I read? And I thought, "Man, I really know what that passage says." And then I hear somebody expound on it, and I'm like, "Wow." And, you know, I think that's what God wants us to get. Every time we open His Word, you know, we should grab something. And so through this parable about two builders and the choices they make, we find that we need to make three decisions. And I mean, we make many more decisions than that, but three basic ones. If you're going to build for Jesus, and isn't that what we're here for? Build the kingdom of God, right? I mean, kingdom of God is here. I mean, we are part of it. And we are to have impact for His kingdom. And so we have to choose some things. And so first of all, we need to choose the proper foundation. The proper foundation. And that's in these first four verses of this passage where He talks about building your house upon a rock or building your house upon sand. So the first question in verses 24 and 25 is, are you building on a solid foundation? Are you building on a solid foundation. He says, therefore. He says, you know, opening this passage up, he says, therefore. He's talking about everything he's talked about. He started with the Beatitudes and being salt and light and, you know, talking about different things that we do that are sin that we don't think are sin and judging people and all these things. He's talked about all these things, prayer and fasting and just all sorts, all the different aspects of the Christian life. All these things. And he goes, therefore. He's wrapping it up. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I liken him to a wise man that built his house upon the rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Are you building on a solid foundation? Anybody that builds knows if you don't have a good foundation, you're in trouble. And, you know, you got this foundation laid, which is Jesus Christ, and we're going to get into that more in a little bit. But the point that I want to make right now is God's Word is solid, folks. And we're going to see as we go further, you know, there's things in God's Word that sometimes we don't like. There's things in God's Word sometimes going to make us change, and we don't want to change. But His Word is solid. It is sure. It doesn't move. It doesn't change. Isn't it comforting to know the things that were wrong 2,000 years ago are still wrong today? You know, regardless of what society says. Things that were wrong 2,000 years ago, still wrong today. Things that were right 2,000 years ago, still right today. It doesn't change. You know, sometimes you wonder, you know, you heard the expression, oh, that person got up on the wrong side of the bed, you know, because you're having to deal with them, you know. And isn't it great to know you never have to deal with God? He's the same every day. Every day. His Word's the same. He's the same. His expectations are the same. It's solid. It's firm. It doesn't move. It is comforting to know that it doesn't move. I don't have to get up wondering, oh, what's it going to take to please Him today? It's the same thing it took to please Him yesterday. And it'll be the same thing tomorrow. We have to base our life on this Word. And anything else is dirt. It's sand. It moves. It changes. His Word is solid. It never moves. It never changes. So are you building on the solid foundation, or are you building on a shifting foundation? And he says in 26 and 27, and everyone that hears these sayings of mine and does them not, doesn't do them, hears them, understands them, you know, knows what it says, but he doesn't do them. He's likened to the foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew, beat upon the house, and it fell. And great was the fall of that house. And, you know, are you building on a shifting foundation? You know, in this world, everything changes. Morals, culture, right and wrong. I mean, isn't it crazy? You know, it happens every day, right? Something you did 20 years ago, and you read about these people. You know, I'm glad I'm not high profile. Because these high profile people are digging them up. You know, digging up. You know, if I don't like you, I can dig up something you say and get you fired. And when did you say it? 30 years ago. It was okay back then. Nobody even cared back then. But today it costs you your job, costs you, you know, relationships, costs you all kinds of things. Because you know what? This world changes. It's shifting all the time. And if you're building on that foundation, great will be the fall of your house. Because it's changing all the time. You know, one thing that really bothers me about all this, you know, and I'm not saying some of the things these people did in the past were right. Maybe they were wrong. And sometimes they are wrong. But it doesn't give any grace. I mean, how many things did you do in your past and you don't do that anymore? Because you changed. You know, you learned. You grew. You became more mature. You know, a lot of the stuff I did and said, I was just immature. I mean, there's no room in this for somebody saying, yeah, that was who I was 20 years ago, but I'm not that person now because you know what? I'm different. I've changed. I've grown up. There's no forgiveness there. You know, the world is not forgiving. Aren't you glad God is? Aren't you glad He doesn't hold against you the things you did 30 years ago? At least if you asked Him to forgive you, He doesn't. If you made Him your Lord and Savior, it's not going to be held against you. That doesn't mean He agreed with it or condoned it. It just means, you know what? He forgave you. He forgave you for it. And He groomed you and He brought you along. And through this Word and through His Spirit, He changes us. He conforms us into the image of His Son. And we don't say those things we used to say. And we don't do those things we used to do. And maybe now we say different things than we used to. Things that build and uplift people. And we do things differently because it's the way we should do them. It's the right thing to do. That's how God works. But if you're building on, you know, if you're trying to build your house to please this world, it's going to fall down 1,000 times in your life because something always changes. And now what used to be right is now wrong. Now you got to change. I'm glad I don't have to do that. Now, it may put me at odds with the world, but the Bible tells us we're going to be at odds with the world, right? So it's not a surprise. And we should be ready for it. But everything changes. Morals, culture, right and wrong, all those things change. And so don't build your house on that. Because it's just the wrong place to build it. So once you have the proper foundation, and we're going to get more into this, believe me. I know you think I'm almost done. I've gone through all these verses, right? Only got 2 more verses. Wrong. We got a bunch more verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. You can turn there. You got to have, once you have a foundation, I mean, listen, how many of you, you know, I remember we bought a brand new house back in 86 over near where we live now. And we were living down the hill at the time. We come up every so often. Every something, just check it out, you know. And I remember when they had the foundation down, we had a Bronco at the time, and we just drove across all the construction area, you know, and just drove right up to that. The streets weren't in yet. I mean, it was just all dirt and all that. We just drove up there. And here's this foundation, you know, a big slab of concrete, and there was some pipes sticking out of it, and, you know, different things where they had run the rough plumbing and the drains and what have you. And it's there. Now, did I just say, all right, kids, the house is done. We're just going to pitch our tent right here on this foundation. I mean, you know, that's silly, right? You know, we don't do that. We build the house. We have to frame it. We have to complete this house. And so, do you have the proper framing? You know, just like our house. Once you get saved, once you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's the firm foundation. And hopefully you have made that foundation the foundation of your life. You know, it's one thing to be saved. It's another thing to build your life upon it. And that's really what this message is about. And so you begin to frame some things in your life. You got to have the proper framing, because if you build your frame out of the wrong materials, it's not going to last. It's not going to hold up. So let's look at this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 9 through 15, first of all, in 9 through 11, we see God's warning. God's warning. And this is Paul writing, and he's talking about building and foundations. And he says, "For we are laborers together with God." Do you get that? You labor too. God's not going to do it all for you. He lays the foundation, but then you know what? You're expected to participate in the building of this house. "We are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry." Now, what that is, that's like a husbandman. That's someone that like takes care of a vineyard, working, pruning. You know, God is working and pruning you so that you will bear fruit. Okay? And he says, "You are God's building. You are God's building." And he says, "According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. Another builds thereon, but let every man take heed how he builds." thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So he's saying the foundation's been laid. No man can lay it. It had to be Jesus that laid that foundation, and he did. Death, burial, resurrection, that's our foundation. We have eternal life through him. But he says the warning is in verse 10. Take heed how you build. Talking to us. Take heed. Be aware. Don't compromise how you're building. Why? Why should we be careful? Don't we have this solid foundation? Well, remember the other passage? The rains came down. The floods came. The wind blew. Think about this. Look how that's worded in Matthew. It says the rains descended. The rains came down. You know what? In the storms in your life, the tribulations of your life, the circumstances of your life, some things come from God. Right? Amen? Sometimes God does it, right? See stuff in our life that needs to go. He brings pressure. You know, if we don't wake up and figure it out, he'll bring something that will point it out to us so that hopefully we get past that. You know, maybe we quit being bitter. Maybe we start forgiving some people in our past that maybe we've been holding a grudge against or something. God will bring things into our life. So sometimes we have tribulation and things in our life that come from God. Because you know what? He loves you too much to leave you the way you are. Okay? But floods rise, don't they? You know, floods don't come from above. You know, you see it every year in the along the Mississippi River, right? Snow starts melting up in Minnesota and those places, and the water rises. You know what? Some of our trouble comes from the devil. Comes from below us. Comes from this world. Some of our trouble comes from there too. Sometimes trouble comes from God because he's bringing something in our lives to make us better. Sometimes the devil brings things into our life to make our lives worse. Different purpose. But it's still tribulation. It's still trouble. It's still something we got to deal with. It's something that we need to withstand. Okay? So you got coming from above, coming from below, and then you got the wind that blows. Where does a wind come from? Man, don't you ask that all the time living in the high desert, you know? Man, where's this wind coming from, man? You know, I remember a couple years ago, Vicky, you know, rents a house from me. You know, she calls me, oh, I don't really want to bother you, but my fence blew down, you know? And I had to go over there and repair a fence. Because the wind blew it down. And where, you know, sometimes it comes this way, and sometimes it comes from this way, and sometimes it comes, you know. And you don't know where it really comes from. You don't know where it really goes. And you know what? Some of the trouble in your life, you may not know where it came from. You may not know, man, is this of God? Is this, you know, Satan attack? Sometimes you just don't know. You just know it's trouble. But I do know this. If you don't have a house built out of good materials, it won't stand. It'll fall. That's why God said, take heed how you build, because trials come, tribulation comes, things come to your life. And if you've not built out of the right materials, you've got a problem. Take heed how you build. So in 12 through 15, we see man's work. Man's work in this passage. Man's work. And make no mistake, we are all building our lives. We're all building into our lives. Every day, we build something into our lives. The question is, with what? With what are you building? We're going to start in the middle of this. It's 12 through 15, but we're going to start with 13 because 13 is the key verse in this little thing here. It says, every man's work shall be made manifest. Okay, what that means is it'll be revealed. It'll be exposed. It'll, you know, you'll be able to see it. You'll be able to see every man's work. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. You know, I don't like that. It'll be revealed by fire. I don't look forward to going through the fire. But you know, fire is interesting because if the materials you've built with are good materials, the fire will refine you. But if the materials you built with were not good materials, the fire will destroy you. But whichever way it is, the fire will reveal it. What does that mean? All of us are going to be put through the fire, folks. Every one of us. Things happen in our life that puts us through the fire. Things happen in our life that we don't want to go through. So what are we building with? What sort of life are you building? What he's saying is, stop and consider your ways. You know, there's a little book in Haggai, a little book called Haggai in the Old Testament, Minor Prophet. And he says this, he says, consider your ways. You've been doing this and this and this and this, and nothing good has been coming of it. I'm paraphrasing here. He doesn't say this and this and this. He names a bunch of stuff. Okay? So he says, consider your ways. You've done all these things. Nothing's happening. You know, he says, you've bought clothes, but you're not warm. You eat, but you're still hungry. You drink, you're still thirsty. You earn money. It's like putting it in a bag with holes. Okay, so I listed the things. And he says, thus saith the Lord, consider your ways. He says it twice. Consider your ways, says all this stuff. Consider your ways. You think he wants us to consider our ways? I think he does. And you know, every one of us, we need to stop. You know, not once in a while, you just need to stop and think about where you're headed. What are you doing? What are the decisions you're making? Where are you going? What are you building with in your life? We need to stop and do that. We need to consider our ways. What is the direction I'm going in? What is the fruit that I am bearing? What kind of fruit? Those kind of things. Those are hard questions. And those are questions only you can answer for yourself. No one else can answer them. Where are you headed? What are you doing? Where are you going? Are these decisions building the kingdom of God, or are they building some other kingdom? We got to ask these questions, folks. What sort of life are you building? I can look back in my past and I remember I was building my life for a lot of years and wasn't too good. At the time, it seemed good, but it wasn't bearing fruit. It wasn't good. And if something didn't change, I was going to crash and burn. Praise the Lord. You know, he got a hold of me. Praise the Lord. But, you know, sometimes, and that was before I was a Christian, but even after being a Christian, you still have to stop and say, what direction am I headed? You still have free will. Just because you're saved doesn't mean you can't make a bad decision. You sure can. You have. I have. Haven't we all made a bad decision since we've been saved? You better believe you have. What sort of life are you building? So now we're going to take in the other verses around this one where our work will be revealed, the day will declare it, it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will reveal every work, what kind of work it is. Okay, so these other verses around this, 12 through 15, center on this verse. So let's look at the next one. So the first question is, you know, we need to stop, look at ourselves and go, am I using superior materials? Bible says in 12, now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, those are the superior materials. Wood, hay, stubble is not. But right now we're considering the superior materials. Gold, silver, stones. Every man's work will be made manifest. The day's going to come. Fire's going to try those works, okay? And then in 14, if any man's work abides, in other words, lasts, stays, survives the fire, okay, which he has built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. You know, the Bible talks about the crowns. You know, you do these things, you'll receive a crown. I think there's five of them, or could be seven. I haven't looked up the crowns in a while, so I think there's five. But you can have a crown. Now, a crown is not salvation. You know, salvation is not earned. Salvation is given freely. But crowns are earned, and you can lose your crown. In fact, the Bible says, beware, lest you lose your crown. Because your crowns are based on how you build your house. The things that you do in your Christian life. And when you please God in a certain area, you're going to get a crown. And then when you get before Jesus, you're going to take your crown off and cast it at His feet, because you know you couldn't have done that crown except He worked through you. We give all the glory to Him. We give all the glory to God. But are you using superior materials? Another way to put this is, are you fulfilling God's purposes for your life? God created you with purpose. Are you fulfilling that purpose? You know, what are your gifts? What are your, you know, the things that He made you to do? You know, and different seasons of life have different things. You know, sometimes, a young mother that has a whole bunch of kids, that season of life, God's purpose is raise those kids and nurture and admonition of the Lord. You know, be a good wife, take care of those kids, raise them up. Pretty much, I mean, is that not a full-time job? Like 24/7, right? 365, just it never ends, right? But it does end because they get older and they leave the nest. And now maybe God has another purpose. It doesn't mean you never quit caring about your kids, but now that's not your whole focus anymore. Now maybe it's something else. Maybe God wants to use you in another way. But the point is, He's never done using you, and you always have a purpose. And so are you building His building? Are you using superior materials? Are you fulfilling His purpose for you? Whatever that may be. Now, overall, what's our purpose? You know, it's obviously to share the gospel. You know, preach the gospel to every creature, go into all the nations, share the gospel. That's overall. But are you doing that in the context of your setting? You know, whether, you know, for a young mom, maybe she just needs to teach the gospel to her kids. But then as you get older, as the kids get older, and now, you know, different season of life, now maybe you're sharing with someone else. Maybe you got another kind of thing God wants to use you. You know, whatever it may be, I don't know. I mean, you know, we're all different and unique, got different situations, different seasons of life. All these things are different. But that's why you need to stop and consider. Where am I at? What am I doing? Is this what God would have me do? And if you're doing it with precious materials, superior materials, it will stand the fire. Your house will stand. The second is, are you using suspect materials? Suspect. You were probably trying to figure out what that second S was going to be, didn't you? Wood, hay, stubble. And in verse 15 it says, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. Have you ever known a Christian? Yeah, they're saved, and they totally went a wrong direction. They built their house a certain way. And then when the storm came, I mean, they crashed and burned. You know, they're just leveled. And they had to start over. It's happened to a lot of people, sadly. But sometimes that's how we have to learn. Why? Bible says a wise man foresees the evil and avoids it, you know. But sometimes we're not wise. I mean, let's just be honest. Sometimes we just do something foolish, and there's a price to pay. But he says, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. Because you know, precious stones, gold and silver, they don't burn. They get hot, but when you heat those up, even as hot as you melt it, the impurities come to the surface and you can clean the impurities out. And now when it cools, when the fire's over, you're better than you were before. Have you ever gone through a trial in your marriage and you know, it burned, you know, it was like crazy trial, but you did the right things. And when you came out the other side, you have a stronger marriage. Now, if your marriage was not built on the Word of God, sometimes they crash and burn, don't they? Happens a lot to Christians. And we need to understand it. And we suffer loss. What's that loss? Well, it messes up the family, don't it? You know, listen. You know, there's a lot of broken families. And there's a price to be paid for that. But God is good. He can work through that. I'm not casting doom. I'm just saying it hurts. And we need to understand that. And we suffer loss. And it says, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. If you are building on the solid rock of Jesus Christ, in other words, you've accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you're on that rock, and you build your house out of bad materials, yeah, you may crash and burn, but you're still on the rock. The rock does not burn. The rock stands. And you can at least begin to rebuild your life. And many people have. And they live a blessed life. That's a gift of God. You know, He doesn't hold our past against us. Praise God, somebody said. Amen. Yeah. Aren't you glad He doesn't hold your past against you? And you may lose everything and you may go right to the foundation, but at least you're still on the foundation. But think about the guy that built on the sand. And when he crashed and burned, there was nothing to hold him. If you're using superior materials, you're fulfilling God's purpose in your life. If you're using suspect materials, you're fulfilling your purposes. You're doing things your way. Or you're doing things somebody's way. It's not God's way. Sometimes we're influenced. So we got the proper foundation, the proper framing, but you know what? You need the proper faith. You got to have the proper faith. Who you trust in. We go back to Matthew. The last two verses. And we see, who is astonished? Who is astonished? Verse 28. And it came to pass, he had ended these sayings. He's done. And the people were astonished at his doctrine. All doctrine means is teachings. The Bible is good for doctrine, the Bible says. Well, it's good for teaching. These principles hold. They're firm. They're right. They're true. They're just. They stand regardless of who uses these truths. They are true. But who's astonished? People. Who is astonished? People that hear something that goes against what they've believed all their life. Remember, these are Jews, and they've been taught by the Pharisees their whole life. And when you keep going further into Matthew, what's Jesus doing the whole time? Woe to you, Pharisees! You do that. You know, he goes through the seven woes or whatever, you know, because they've been teaching people wrong. But the people were believing it. And when you hear something your whole life, why do you think we have all these forces at work trying to get into our schools and teach our kids these blasphemous things? From the time they're very small. Because they know if they can get them when they're kids, when they're older, they're going to believe it. Nothing's new, folks. When you grow up believing something your whole life, it's hard to accept something else. It's hard to admit you were wrong. None of us like to say I was wrong. You know, it's the three hardest words in marriage, right? have a problem between husband and wife, somebody's got to say, I was wrong. Ah, you know. Three hardest words, I was wrong. And let, you know, we like to turn it around because we're self-serving. You were wrong. That's easy to say. Blame it on someone else. I was wrong. But when we hear something that we've believed our whole life, how about this one? God helps those who help themselves. That's great truth out of the Bible. I mean, many, many, many people believe that's in the Bible. And then you read the Bible, hopefully, and you go like, where's that at? So now you got to go, wait a minute, I'm astonished. That's not in there. I have actually astonished people. I've had people tell me that, oh, you know, God helps those who help themselves. I go, well, where did you read that? I don't want to make them feel bad. I just go, where's that at? Oh, it's in the Bible. Where? Because I'd love to read it. I mean, you know, I really would, because, I hope He would help me if I help myself, you know. It's not in there. And when I tell them that, they're like, wow. I had one lady tell me that God loves animals more than He loves people. It's in the Bible, she told me. And I'm like, I'm sure God loves the animals, they're part of His creation and all that, but I don't think He loves more than people. And I you know, that's what I was thinking. I didn't challenge her outright. I just said, man, that's interesting. I've never heard that. I where's that at? And we were actually on a mission trip. Praise the Lord, we're just preaching the gospel on the mission trip, not talking about animals. But we were on a mission trip together, you know, a whole group of us, and we were in a, you know, bus ride, riding 8 hours, so all kinds of conversations come up. But she mentioned that, and I go, wow, that's interesting. Where's that at? I'd like to see that. And she spent the next 3 hours on that bus ride trying to find it. Finally, she just gave up. I go, I don't think it's in there, you know. Yeah. And she was like stunned. Because she believed that her whole life, I guess. And you know, that's what Satan does. He's a deceiver. He makes us think the Bible says things that it doesn't really say. It all sounds good, but it doesn't say it. He's a deceiver. And these people here have been hearing all this stuff their whole life. And now Jesus, in this one sermon, challenges them on 30 different things. And it's just blowing their minds. And they're just like, man, who is this guy? And they're astonished, the Bible says. And I've been astonished a couple times, I have to say. I didn't know that was in there, you know, when I started actually reading my Bible every day. You find out some things. And I still, even though I don't know how many times I've read through the Bible, it's got to be in the dozens at this point. But every now and then I still come across, man, I know I've read it because I've read through the Bible many times. But it never stuck out, you know, for whatever reason. And man, I read it and I go, wow, I never saw that before. Isn't that cool when that happens, you know? And it kind of astonishes you because it's something different. You never thought of it that way. But when you hear something that goes against what you've believed, it's hard. It's hard. You know, on our trips to Peru, the Jehovah Witnesses had you know, we thought we were going to be dealing with Catholic, because there is a lot huge Catholic influence in Peru, obviously, but when we got to this one particular town, we weren't having to argue Catholic doctrine. We were having to argue whether there was a hell or not. I mean, it was like, you know, because we, part of our gospel presentation was, you know, you don't want to die and go to hell. Well, there is no hell, they'd say. And I'm like, yeah, there is. And, oh, no, there's not. And so, you know, okay, let's go to Revelation chapter 20 and let's check that out, where everybody that's not found in the book of life is cast into the lake of fire forever. What's that? You know, but I mean, You're always having to battle something. And these people were astonished. And so I had to, the first night we realized what we were getting into. So I had to go and look up all the verses on hell, you know, and get them marked. Because, man, every house we, I mean, the Jehovah's Witnesses had done a good job for them. I mean, they had all these people indoctrinated. And we went around and caused some trouble with the truth. But we started Bible studies there, and people went to the Bible studies. And you know, and God's Word, you know, it stands. It stands. But man, when you're dealing with people that have believed something their whole life, you tell them they're going to hell. Gets their attention. So it's, those are those that are astonished. But then who has the authority? And that's really what it comes down to. In verse 29, they were astonished at his doctrine. Why? For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Who we follow reveals who we are building for. Who are you following? And, you know, of course, every Christian, you know, would say, well, I follow Jesus. Well, do you? Do you? You need to stop and consider your ways. Because we can be deceived. We can be thinking we're doing a good thing. You know, and listen, you can be doing a good thing, but let me ask you, if it's not God's will for you, are you following Christ? Well, what do you mean? Well, let's just say, okay, I'm a pastor. Being a pastor is a good thing. Sharing the Word of God with you each week is something I treasure and enjoy and love and all that. You know, it's a good thing. But you know what? If God has not called me to be a pastor, is it a good thing that I'm a pastor? No. No. Sometimes we get involved in things that of themselves are good things, but if it's not God's will, we need to be doing something. We need to be doing His will. It's obedience is what pleases God. Not doing works. It's being in His will. And sometimes I think, you know, I think we all kind of, I'll speak for myself. Sometimes I do things for others. Sometimes I do things for myself. Sometimes I do things for Jesus. Hopefully the percentage keeps growing towards Jesus as I go through my life. Okay? But sometimes I do things, let's face it, we do things because we want to. Or sometimes we do things that other people want us to. I'm always very careful, I try to be, when I enlist people to help in the church. Because I ask them, you know, I'll just use the youth department. You know, when Doug and Janet came to me and they said, you know, we believe that we're going to be youth leaders. And I said, my question was not their qualifications. My question was, did God call you to this? Do you believe this is a calling of God? That's my question. You know, if you're up here playing music or singing, is it a calling of God? Because if it's not, you should be doing whatever God called you to do. Now, sometimes you got more than one calling on your life. You know, sometimes you help out here, but you also have another thing that you do for God, and that's fine. But I'm just saying, are you called to do that? Are you in God's will? You know, we have people that come to the church and they want to visit, and we have the pastor welcome class if they say they want to join the church. And one of the things that I talk about in there is, I believe God calls you to a church. Because when He calls you to a church, He has a purpose for you being there. And it's not that I'd love to have, I think we have the best church. I think we have the best people. I think everybody should come here. But what's important is not what I think. What's important is what God is doing in your life. Are you supposed to be here? And then that means if you are, then that means you're not here because you like the music or you like the pastor or whatever. You're here because God said, this is where you go. And that's what's important. Who's the authority? And we choose who we follow. We do. It is not enough to hear Christ's sayings and understand them. Now, is it important? Yeah. Remember what he says? He says, everyone that hears these sayings of mine. It is not enough to hear Christ's sayings and understand them. Now, is it good to understand them? Well, absolutely. Proverbs will tell you, with all you're getting, get wisdom, and with your wisdom, get understanding. We need to understand, otherwise how can we implement it in our life? I'm not saying it's not important. I'm saying it's not enough. It's not enough. It's not enough to hear Christ's sayings and remember them. Now, absolutely, when you get in a situation, man, it's nice to be able to pull out a verse, and say, whatever, whatever the situation deems, and you got a verse for it. Wow, that's really cool. We should remember. The Bible tells us what? To hide His Word in our heart. We're to meditate on Scripture and remember it. But I'm telling you, it's not enough. It's not enough to understand it. It's not enough to remember it. It's not enough to hear Christ's sayings and discuss them. Oh, we have Bible study. We got women on Tuesday, and we got one on Monday afternoon. We got the men's on Thursday. We come to church, and Jim teaches one at 8:45 on Sundays. And, we got the kids going on right now, and the teens are going on right now. We got, it's great. We need to have these Bible studies, and we need to discuss because it helps us learn. But I'm telling you, it's not enough. It's not enough. And it's not enough to hear Christ's sayings and defend them. You ever find yourself at odds with someone? They're saying blah, blah, blah. There's many ways to heaven. Oh, you can, just be a good person. Well, you know what? We need to know the truth, understand the truth, have discussed it enough to remember it. And then, yes, we need to share the truth and defend the Word of God when someone says, hey, the Bible's just a fairy tale book or whatever. You need to be able to defend it. We should have that kind of knowledge. We should have that kind of skill with it. But you know what? It's not enough. If we are to build our lives for Jesus, we must hear Christ's sayings and do them. Because that's the only difference between these two guys. The only difference. One guy heard and did them. And when the winds came, because they both endured the same storms. But one guy heard them and did them, and his house stood. The other guy heard them and did not do them, and his house fell. It's the only difference. And we can remember them and discuss them and speak them and teach them and all that. It doesn't, and that's all good, and we all need to do that. But if you're not doing it, you're going to fall. That's what the Bible says. That's what Jesus said. Yes, the foundation is there, and you may be on the foundation. You may be born again. You may have accepted Christ your Lord and Savior, and you may be on the rock, but what are you building your house out of? Because if you're not doing what He said, your house is being built of wood, hay, and stubble, and that stuff burns. And when the fire comes, your house will be gone. In Jesus' parable, the difference between the wise builder and the foolish builder was not in what they heard, it was in what they did. That was the difference. It was in what they did. The foolish builder was fooling himself. That's why it's foolish. You know, foolish, we always think of foolishness as being like a stupid decision. But it's really, when we do foolish things, we were fooled. I mean, why did you do the foolish thing? You thought it was going to work out. That's why you did. We don't do stuff we don't think is going to work out. But we get fooled. Look at this verse, James 1:22. But be ye, here we are, doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. I remember a couple, I was teaching a finance class at another church. And there was a couple there that had been in that church for several years, and I knew of them. And I remember teaching the class, and I talked a lot about tithing and giving and, you know, and things like that. And this was a couple that never tithed. Now, they never did. But they were always asking for help all the time. We always need this. We always need that. And they came up to me after I spoke, and I knew this about them, you know. But they were in the class because every time you have a class like that, they wanted to come there and learn and learn and learn. But they never did anything they were ever taught. At least in the realm of money anyway. And I remember, you know, they came up to me afterwards. They said, wow, that's all well and good, but we just can't tithe. We just can't do it because we just never have enough. And I just said, and I knew who they were and their story, you know, so that gave me some insight, if you will. But my reply was, how's your way been working for you? You've been doing it your way all these years. You're always in need. You never have enough. You're always looking for help. Maybe you ought to put God first and see if He doesn't bless you, because your way ain't been working. And as far as I know, they never changed. I haven't seen them in forever now. But it's like, and I'll say that sometimes. People come to me and they want help, and I'll tell them stuff out of the Word of God. Look, I'm no great counselor. All I do is give people the Bible. You know, I just know some verses maybe they don't know, and I'll just say, hey, you know, you got a problem in this area? Here's what the Bible says. And I believe in the Bible. I believe if you do what it says, it will help you. I believe if you do what it says, God can do something in your life. I can't do anything for you. But I can point you to the one who can. And He has a way. You know, He's got His ways. And some of them don't make sense to us. But His ways are higher than our ways, right? He tells us that. Why don't we believe it? You know. And so, you know, I just tell people, you know, and I'll say, look, all I ask is if you've come to me for help, if I give you some wisdom out of God's Word, then I expect you to do it. And if you're not going to do it, don't waste my time, don't waste your time. You know? Because if you're not going to do God's Word, I can't help you. And I'm not going to ask you to do anything that's not in His Word. But people deceive them. They're hearers. They will hear it, but they don't want to do it. Because you know what? Sometimes doing it is hard. Sometimes doing the Word of God, it costs you. Sometimes doing the Word of God requires faith. Now tell people, you know, they're in money problems. I'll say, how much do you give to the church? Well, I don't give anything. I can't afford it. And I'm like, you can't afford not to. I'm not here asking for money. Stay for the business meeting. We are doing fine. Okay? I'm not here to build the offering. Stay for the business meeting. I mean, we've paid off like $60,000 on the loan. Is that it? This year. We had $100,000 January 1st left on this building. We're down to $40,000, folks. Okay, praise the Lord. Praise you guys for being obedient and helping. And everyone that works, you know, we've all been trying to work to keep our expenses down and all that. And you know what? Praise the Lord. I'm not here to get more money out of you. I'm here to tell you how to get a blessing. And I'm just using money as the illustration. Whatever it is in your life that you know is the right thing to do, do it. God will bless you following His Word. You know, tell people, well, I don't have any money. Well, why don't you try giving to the church? Well, I don't have it. Give to the church first and see if God doesn't do something. That doesn't mean you give $100, you're going to wake up with 200 more in the bank than you had, and you go, oh, I don't know where that came from. That's not what I'm talking about, okay? It's not prosperity gospel here. That's another lie from hell. I'm just saying God promises to bless if you obey His word, if you just apply His word. Because you know what I've found? When you learn to give your tithes and offering, it makes you more disciplined and you don't waste as much money. It's what I've found. God doesn't change, you change. That's what it's about. The wise builder was a faithful doer. He was a doer. And it takes faith. You know, it takes faith to write that check to the church when that's all you have. But you know that's the amount God wants you to give. It takes faith to do that. But faith is the evidence of things you can't see. I don't see how I can do this. Well, that's why it's called faith. The wise builder was a faithful doer. So let's be a doer of the word, not a hearer only. Let's do it. And you know what? We'll be a wise builder, and we'll be building for Christ. We won't be building for ourselves. We'll be building for Him. His kingdom, His will, His way, His purpose, His plan. Okay? It's all about Him. It's not about my kingdom, about His kingdom. So what are you building on? There may be someone here in this room today. You've been building on the wrong foundation. You've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you are that person, I hope you'll make that decision today. That's a decision you have to make. You have to exercise some faith in what Jesus did on the cross and say, you know what? He paid the price for my sin through His death, burial, and resurrection. And I believe in that, and I'm going to ask God to forgive me on that basis. And you know what? If you do that, He will. He'll forgive you. And He will lay that foundation in your life. And now you can begin to take this word and build your life into something that pleases God. Pleases God. So if you've never, you may be of one that's heard, but you've never done it. You've heard the plan of salvation, but you've never actually implemented it. You never actually just went to God and just said, I'm a sinner. Please forgive me. That's essentially what it is. I acknowledge you, God. You're perfect. You're holy. You're righteous. You sent Jesus to pay the price for my sin. I believe that. Please forgive me and adopt me. For the rest of us, and I pray that all of you have the foundation, okay? I pray that that's settled in your life. But even though you're on that foundation, for the rest of us, what are you building with? What are you building with? Let me ask you a question. Are you teachable? I believe that is the most important attribute for a Christian, is just to be teachable. It doesn't mean you believe everything you hear. It means, because there's people that will deceive, and sometimes they're well-meaning people, you know, that are just deceived themselves, okay? But the point being, are you teachable? Are you open to hearing what, you know, if you don't want to hear what I have to say, fine. You believe that? Are you willing to listen to what this has to say? Are you teachable? Are you willing to say, I was wrong? And let God do something mighty in your life. Is Jesus really your Lord? Remember last week we talked about that. Many will say, Lord, Lord, I did all these things in your name. But He replied, I never knew you. See, these are people that were not doing, they were not building God's kingdom, they were building their own in the name of God. And Jesus said, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. And what were they doing? They were speaking in His name and casting out demons in His name and doing miracles in His name. And He says, you worked iniquity. Look out, I might preach that sermon again right now. No, that's last week. Okay. But is Jesus really your Lord? Who's your authority? Who are you following? I hope you're following Him. You have every head bowed, every eye closed. Want to just have an invitation. Have an invitation. Is there anybody here today who'd say, Brother Mike, I've never asked Jesus to save me. I've never asked God to forgive me. I just kind of thought living a good life, maybe that was your thing. But maybe today you came to the place where you realize I've been building on the wrong foundation. I need to get the rock under my feet. Anybody like that? I just want to pray for you. If that's the case, I just want to pray for you. For the rest of us, how many would say, Brother Mike, I don't think I'm as teachable as I think I ought to be, and I have some issues with that. I need to listen better to the Word of God. Anybody like that? Just need some prayer on that. Anybody would say, Brother Mike, I've been kind of building with maybe some materials that need to change. And I'd like prayer about that. There's some things in my life need to change. Amen. God bless you. Amen. God bless you. Thank you. How many would say, I know a lot. I've studied the Scriptures or whatever. I know a lot of Scriptures, but there's some things I know how to be doing, and I need prayer about that because I haven't been doing them, and God's already revealed it to me. Anybody like that? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we come before You humbly. You've provided everything. Help us to just simply follow You. Father, I lift up these ones that raise their hand. I pray, Lord, that they would allow You to change some things in their life. That they would begin to trust You more in whatever area it is. When they raised their hand, they had an area in their mind, Lord. And You know that area. And they know that area. So, Lord, I pray that they would give You freedom in that area of their life. And that they would begin to draw closer to You in Your will for them in that area. Father, give them wisdom. Help them to see where You are working. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. This is your time as the music plays. If God has dealt with you on something, whatever it may be, whether you raise your hand or not, if God dealt with you, this is the time. He brought it to your mind. Do something. Do something about it. Talk with Him right now. This is your moment. Father, Lord God, we come before You grateful for the solid rock foundation that You provided through Jesus Christ. And Lord, You also provided for us the materials with which to build upon that rock. Father, give us wisdom to see them. Help us to build the house the way You would have it built. May we follow You. May we indeed be faithful doers of the Word and not hearers only. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.